Good day, listeners. We present to you our podcast, Wounded Hearts, Wounded Churches. We discuss a variety of topics that are important to the church. Examples include sexual abuse, all types of addictions, religious abuse, and recovery. This platform provides counseling sessions, meaningful question and answer, and a counseling continuum. Our co-hosts include Ms. Lolita, Personnel Director, Mrs. Tennille, our Technical Director. We have an impressive array of program contributors. And I'm your host. My name is Prince, founder of Antioch Youth Center, 501(c)(3) program, licensed counselor, now retired. So join in this exciting podcast, Wounded Hearts, Wounded Churches, and be a part of the healing process. Tonight, we have a special guest, a special topic tonight, and one of our own staff persons, Sister Stella Cavan. Give her a hand. Glad she's here.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Awesome.
Sister Stella has been saved almost 70 years, approximately. Mm-hmm. Wife, mother, grandmother, mother of eight, five generations, Church of God in her family. Like I mentioned, her sons being pastors, and we're glad to have her here tonight. But friends, if you have questions or comments about divine healing, feel free. You can join us even tonight. And that number to contact us, a text saying you can text 1-866-538-3664. Again, that number to text in tonight with comments or questions. It's 866-538-3664. If you want counseling through Wounded Hearts, you can do that also, too. That phone number for Wounded Hearts is 478-283-9093, 478-283-9093. If you want to email Wounded Hearts, you can. Email number is reachone@aol.com. Again, that email address for questions or comments off air is reachone@aol.com. All right. So I want to talk about divine healing tonight, and I want to learn all we can about it. And maybe we can be an encourager to someone. We want to elicit faith tonight, inspire someone's faith tonight. Many are at an all-time low when it comes to faith issues. We want to be a conduit to inspire people's faith tonight and to do all we can to help them to believe God even more. So, Sister Kevin, now tell us about, first of all, your son had a hernia issue years ago. Tell us about that, please.
Yes. When he was first born, before I brought him, I mean, as soon as he was born, he had a hernia. And he had a opening, I think it was him, he had an opening in his navel, I believe it was. And so, of course, you know, they wanted to operate on him and do something about him because to close that up. And, of course, I said, no, I was going to trust God for whatever needed to be done. So then they made the appointment, and of course my husband did not agree with me not going along with it. And so he was putting pressure on me. So I told him, you know, you're free. You can take him and spend the weekend with him if you want to. I said, but I'm not going to do that because I feel like I should trust God for it. So it advanced and so bad that he couldn't walk. It hurt so bad he would just crawl down the hallway. Wow. And that was very difficult for me to watch that.
Wow. And
they were praying for it all the time. So finally it came to, I guess he was about 2 years old, whatever, but it came to a head. He had this fever. His fever was so bad that if he drank water, he would throw it up. Because it was warm. So that's how bad his fever was. Mm. So I just sat, he put him in his playpen, and I sat there with him and of course, there were those who feel like you ought to do this and you ought to do that. I said, well, you know, you're able, you can do it, but I'm not going to. I feel like I want to trust God. So Sister Butler, they went into an intense prayer. And so they prayed for him. And I think I woke up the next day or whatever, and in his diaper was just little white strips and everything. God had healed it. All the it gone down. It was all.
Wow. Amazing.
And how did you feel?
I was so rejoicing. I could not, I mean, and not with that attitude of, you know, you could be so now see what happened.
Right.
Not
right.
That type of thing. No, but thankful to God that He prevailed.
Mm-hmm.
That was the main thing. I didn't have that. I'm now you can, you know how you can, the devil would want you to be. But that was not my my attitude at all. I was just thankful to God that He had come through for me.
Amen.
Kevin, how does one maintain or build their faith up to that level that you had? You had faith evidently to see your son suffering, but yet trusted God. How does one keep their faith in check enough to do that?
Mm-hmm. It's just God. I think it's obedience, really, in okay. doing what He tells you to do, and that, because I don't think I have great faith. I hear these people and all that they're doing. I feel like I have the least. I mean, I believe God and everything, but that great faith, and all, I don't feel like it. But one wonderful thing about my life, I was brought up to, we trusted God, and that was it.
Right.
My mother and my dad, if I was sick, my dad would pray for me.
Right.
So I never, and my sister, when she had TB, they prayed for her, and she was healed.
Right.
And so I never, and my mother, she had headaches and stuff, so I never looked to the what's the first time I went to a doctor, I was 16 years old, because I was getting towards graduation. And he, we had to get an examination so that we could go to gym. And that's the only reason I went there. Other than that, I had never seen a doctor. When he called my name, I was so scared. Because I had never been involved with doctors at all in all my years.
You mentioned Advil, I mean headaches. I met a guy that said, look, I got a headache, but I took some Advil.
Mm-hmm.
And friends, you know, when you take these pills, you better be careful and look what the side effects are.
Mm-hmm.
Advil, for example, can cause side effects of Advil. Vision changes, swelling, shortness of breath, weight gain, skin rash, stomach bleeding, bloody stools, liver problems, low red blood cell count, and kidney problems. So before you take an Advil, you better get both sides of the story, because you don't really know the side effects. Look it up. Sister Kevin, I want to talk about something that may be sensitive to you, but I think our listeners will appreciate that. Tell us about your vision issues, please.
I was driving and everything was going fine. I never needed glasses early in life. As time went on, I did. But so I got an examination, and they were examining me, then they found that I had cataract, which my mother had. So I guess they must run through the family, whatever. But anyway, I had cataract. And so at the time she told me, you know, we can operate on you and clear this up right away and you'll be fine. So I told her, no, I did not want an operation. And so from there on, it began to progress.
Sister Kevin, can you see at this point now?
I can see some light and stuff like that. And as I was going to say, my in the beginning, something could have been done. But in the beginning, I had one thing in mind. Not that I was afraid that it wouldn't be successful. That was never my thought. My thought was I wanted to trust God. And so it began to, it was a long progress. I had prayer over and over again with no result. And I also, was able to drive. And the last time I got my license, they prayed prayed for me, and God gave me let me see that, you know, well enough to pass my eye test. And so, as I say, but still, it's getting worse and worse, and she's telling me it's getting worse, and you need to get it done. And so I know, you know, I wanted to trust God. So, and then in the meantime, there was someone else that they had the operation. It came out successful, and they were fine. But still, like I say, my main goal was not if I was going to do it. I mean, if there was anything going to be done, I wanted God to get the glory. I didn't want to get up and say, Saint, pray for me because I'm going to have an operation. No, I did not want that. And finally, I came down to the place where I took the test and I couldn't see well enough. And so I just parked my car in the driveway, and which was, you know, I kind of hated, but I did. And haven't driven since. And I was trying to remember how old I was, and I can't remember. It was down in my 80s. So I feel like, you know, God had blessed me to drive that long. And this thing went on for about maybe 10 years or so anyway. So it's progressively getting worse all the time.
So how did your faith, when you didn't receive the healing that you prayed for, how did you work or are working through that process?
I kept going. That was my answer. And so I just kept going. That's nothing else I could do. Nothing else I was going to. There was nothing I could do. I had put it in his hands and I couldn't take it out. And so I was just waiting on him if he was going to do it. Then I finally came to the place, you know, you come to a place where whatever, if I've healed or not, I'm still going to trust God. So you got to come to that place too.
And let his will, you mentioned obedience, let his will be done.
Absolutely. I had to have a Gethsemane. When and where, I don't remember when, but I just know it came in that place. So it was settled. If someone had come up with something that was better. And the last time I was at the lady that was the doctor's office, and she said, asked my daughter, she said, is there anything you can do to, you know, change? She said, no, I can't talk to my mom. She's not going to change her mind.
Ironically, I did a little study on cataracts. They run in my family too. I have eye problems and it's getting worse. But so I looked it up, cataract surgery, the effects of it. Number one, eye infection, bleeding eye, swelling retinas, detached retinas, drooping eyelid, eye pain, light sensitive, vision loss, nausea, and blurred vision after the operation. So, Kevin, did you, the process of maintaining, once God did not answer the way you think he through your prayer, how do you maintain your love for God, even though he's not answering the way you think you could answer?
I guess the main thing that I learned in life and all that I was going through is when God didn't answer whatever, that had nothing to do with my salvation. My salvation was settled. Mm-hmm. I was going to serve him regardless of whether it was good or whether it was evil. No matter what happened, I'm his. And so if he sees fit to do it, you know, and then you would hear a sermon about you don't have enough faith or whatever, and maybe I would, you know, say maybe I need to do this or whatever. But basically, those are two separate things. Trusting God, I put my life in his hands. I'm all his. I'm trusting him. And I can't say that he's not doing something for me, because in the meantime, he was. I was able to drive home at night from, I would try to leave early enough.
Sure.
Because I really wasn't supposed to be out when it's dark. But basically, I could see better sometime at night than I could in the daytime.
Sure.
So, I mean, God was doing something. Not what I asked, not what I wanted, but he was doing something. He was taking care of me. If I took my hands out of him, my life out of his hands, who was gonna help me?
True.
I had no help. And even if I did have my eyes, if I don't have him, I don't have anyone.
Lord bless. Lord bless.
And then one thing about trusting, if I'm trusting him to help my finances, I'm trusting him to take me back and forth. I was an hour away from church, And I driving alone, and many times in the evening by myself, every Sunday having to get the food out to cook, I was trusting him for all that. So then where what little area can I afford to say, but you can't, I can't trust you here? If I'm going to trust him for all those other things, either I fully trust or I don't. I'm trusting him to take care of my children. I'm trusting him to save my children. I'm trusting him to help me get up in the mornings and go. I'm trusting him if I'm not feeling good in my body. I'm trusting him to give me wisdom, what to cook for the saints. Trusting him to help me to have a good attitude in the home toward my husband and whatever the situation. Trusting him to take care of that. I don't have finances sometimes. I can't afford to even drive. How am I going to make it? I went to church one Sunday, and I came home in the afternoon because I'd come home to feed my husband and then go back. I came home. When I came home, I really did not have any food at all. So I asked him, did he have any money? He said, well, you know, just a little. They had hot dogs and chips. I don't like hot dogs, so I didn't. That's all we had that day. When I got back to church that night, the pastor's wife, Sister Pat, bless her heart, she's such an angel. She gave me $25. Wow. And I took $25 and bought food for the week or whatever time I did. There was a lot of time I never could go. I had to go to the short line. I never spent over $10. Never had $10 to spend. And the main thing about it was, if I wanted to not, my husband told me I could take care of the money. I said, well, if I take care of the money, I'm going to tithe. So I gave God his part first. And if I didn't have enough left over for the rest, then that was it. He had his own separate money. So it wasn't I was keeping anything from him because he had enough to do what he wanted to do. So, and he didn't come home for meals that much. So I didn't have that. So we just ate what we did. My son, when he got married, he said, No more these dinners where, you know, you casseroles. You didn't have enough.
And that went on for how many years? How long did that go on, the process of driving back and forth? Unsaved husband?
Over through all my children and all. It was about 50 years, maybe.
About 50 years.
Close to that, 40, 50 years. Mm-hmm.
Tonight we're hearing, friends, any questions from our listeners or from our director?
Not at the moment, no, sir.
What we're hearing, friends, is divine healing is based on trust in God. Is that what you're saying tonight, Sister Kevin?
Full trust, absolutely. It all goes in together.
Any other things you want to say tonight? We've got about a minute left.
And those are the things that, and so, I mean, that had built me up because I was used to that. And I didn't go around borrowing money. I did not go around calling my parents. They didn't even know. My mother, when she came down here, she was shocked to see some of the things that I was going through. She had no idea. And my dad ended up buying me a car. He put a fence around my house. And it was all through her. She came up in here with all those children. I didn't have a washing machine. So went home. My dad called me and said, go to Sears. I've already purchased a washing machine. I was sitting by the truck and washing those clothes. So, I mean, all those things, maybe that's what really built my confidence. And then Gary, one of my children, I shouldn't use. But anyway, he had impetigo in his arm or something. And it was so bad he couldn't hold his arm up. He doesn't remember it, but they prayed for him, and God healed him. Sharon, Ruth, Angie had something on her face that was so bad that she couldn't, she was ashamed that anybody see it. Sister Butler took her to a minister there and prayed for her. She was ready to go to school, and their meeting's in August, and by September, her face had totally cleared up, never did again. So. Just over and over again. In a car, and I know that car turned over and came back up, and I wasn't really injured in that situation. We had another situation. If we had gone over the railing, we would have been down, and we were close to that, and we would have gone down into another highway and probably been killed. And then one night I was coming home, and when I woke up, I was sitting in the middle of the road. Cars were going all around me, and I was asleep. So God has been faithful, and I want to continue to hold that faith to the end. So if I never see again or anything like that, it's okay. And in the midst of all this, it's been good. I've had learned how to be quiet. I've learned how to be content in the situation I'm in, things I can't do, places I can't go, people I can't see. That's just best life. So it's okay.
I've got a lot of questions here that are just bubbling from my mind, but our time is gone. So, Kevin, any last words before I tell you? Someone tonight is having a faith issue. What would you tell them?
Simply trust him. I love that. There's a song. I just simply believe that God will take care of you in every situation. Trust him. Trust him and be true and see that what he will do. Amen. He'll never disappoint your soul. That's never. Not ever. He's there for us.
Yes.
That's all.
Yes.
And if you lose him, you've lost the best friend in your life. If you lose anybody but God, you lose him, it's over. You have no one to turn to. And the best of the doctors, the best of everything that you would have, money and everything, none of that can help you when you come to certain situations. God is the only one. I recommend him highly. Whatever he does, it's okay. And I try to be careful. I even try to be careful about saying, I wish I could do. No. God said, don't wish that. Ask me, and then I'll let you know whether I'll do it. And if I don't, then don't go around wishing for this or wishing for that.
Wow.
Just take a day at a time. And so he's helped me. He's taught me a lot of things. I love him and appreciate him.
Well, Sister Kevin, next week, you got to be on tap again, please. We got some questions here, and we want to find out more about your vision condition and those that are going through similar situations. But I think tonight, friends, if anyone here, if you've left God, backslid, whatever, tonight is your night to come back to him, to him, not to the people, the building per se, but come back to Christ. She mentioned about trusting God, and that's the first step. So trust him for those wounds. Trust him for that broken heart to reconcile. He can do that. We can't, but he can. So I hope tonight, with the podcast, you will kneel down and ask God to restore, help you to forgive, and to be healed on the inside.
Amen.
And Lord bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.
Okay.